Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2. 2 Kings, chapter 2. We're going to read several different verses throughout the chapter here. 2 Kings, chapter 2. We're going to start reading in verse number 3. Second Kings chapter 2, I'm going to read verse 3, and we'll join together on another verse a little later here and several other verses in this chapter. Second Kings chapter 2, verse number 3 reads, "And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." Now look down in verse number 5. We'll read this verse together. 2 Kings 2, verse number 5. Ready? "And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it." I'll read verse. Hold ye your peace. You're right. I missed that. I'm sorry. Verse number 7, I'll read verse 7 to you. "And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan." Now skip down to verse number 15. We'll read this one in unison. 2 Kings 2, 15. Ready? "And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him." I'll read one other verse to you. You need not turn there. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. "Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein." And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, thank you for a man of God. Lord, thank you that it can be said, as in Bible days, there is a man of God in this city, and your hand is upon him. Lord, as our church endeavors to reach out with our Bible college, Lord, this is our opportunity to influence a nation and a world for many generations to come. May we see what the man of God has for us from you, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I mentioned this morning that this evening's sermon would be built around the thought of our starting our Bible college, and that is the very case. I call the sermon Old Paths Baptist College because that's what the whole sermon is about. Here in 2 Kings, we see a story that includes an Old Testament school or college that is referred to by most as Elijah's school of the prophets or for prophets. Elijah would soon be translated up into heaven, meaning God was going to transfer him from the earth to heaven without seeing death. Elijah at that time is with his faithful assistant, a man named Elisha. Elisha knows that soon God will be taking Elijah, and Elisha is very, very determined that he's going to stay right by the side of Elijah all the way to the moment of his translation or until he is taken. Also, with Elijah was a group of young men called the sons of the prophets. They're mentioned in verse number 3. The sons of the prophets are mentioned in verse number 5. The sons of the prophets are mentioned in verse number 7. The sons of the prophets are mentioned again in verse number 15. This is what happens. So you have Elisha there. You have Elijah there. You've got these sons of the prophets. It's a group of men that, young men that Elijah was training. And Elijah comes to the Jordan River. He takes off his mantle. He smote the water. The water parted so they could walk across on dry ground. And all the time this was happening, the Bible says these sons of the prophets or these young students, they're just watching everything that's taking place. I think they're over there, probably have their notebooks out, taking notes. You know, it's miracle working 101 class. Elijah then says to his counterpart there, he says to Elisha, he says, what can I do for you? I'm about to be taken. Is there anything, my dear assistant, that I can do for you? He said, you have been faithful, you've been loyal, but what do you want? And Elisha says, Elijah, I would like to have a double portion of thy spirit. Now, that spirit there is not referring to the Holy Spirit, it's referring to the spirit of Elijah. Elijah had an attitude that was just incredible. And Elisha said, oh, obviously he would like to have a double portion of the Holy Spirit, but that's not really the reference here. It is Elisha saying, I have watched your attitude, I have watched the way you handle yourself, Elijah, and I just wish I could get a double portion of that attitude, that spirit that you have. Well, Elijah said to his assistant, he said, when I'm translated, if you're there, if you see me go up, God will grant your request of giving you a double portion. And as the story goes, Elisha is there when Elijah is taken up. It says in 2 Kings 2, verse 11 and 12, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and a part of them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them into pieces. Elisha sees Elijah go up. Elijah's mantle, that was a cloak that he wore, that very cloak that he had used to part the water and walk across on dry ground, that cloak is dropped to the ground when Elijah is taken by the chariot into heaven. Elisha goes over, he picks up that mantle, and he continues the work of Elijah. Well, and I think with a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. If you know anything about the miracles of the two men, Elijah had done 8 marvelous miracles. And now this man Elisha follows him, and it's a wonderful thing. Elisha does 16 miracles that are recorded. And so in a way, we see somehow there's a double portion of something going on there. Now tucked within this marvelous story is that group of young men called the sons of the prophets. These were young preacher boys. They were prophets in training. In verse number 3, the sons of the prophets refer to Elijah as their master. He was their schoolmaster, if you will. He was their lead master or their headmaster. It says, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? In verse number 5, again, they call Elijah their master, meaning their headmaster. In verse number 7, it's clear that they have been actually told by Elijah. I think Elijah says to them, fellas, you're really going to get some training today. Day, because I'm going to be taken to heaven, and I want you to watch everything that takes place. Elijah had told him to watch, I guess, like watching the chalkboard in the college classroom, if you will, a day in the laboratory of God's will. It says in 2 Kings 2:7, it says, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they stood by Jordan. In other words, Elijah had said, you guys go right over there and stand and you watch. You learn from what's about to happen. In verse number 15, the sons of the prophets come to Elisha. Now remember, Elijah has been translated. God left the mantle behind. The mantle was a picture of the power of God. And he drops that mantle and he gets in the chariot and God takes him into heaven. Elisha goes over. He picks up that mantle and then he becomes the leader of these young men, the sons of the prophets. And then he begins his ministry and continues the ministry of Elijah. It says in 2 Kings 2:15, and when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha, and they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. In other words, Elijah was taken, Elisha steps up, grabs the mantle, all these young preacher boys come to him, and they say, God is now upon you. And the Bible says they bow themselves to him. Why? just like you go over here to Martinsburg Christian Academy, any adult that walks into any classroom when the students are in there, our students are taught to stand in the presence of those adults. These young men, they had standards and propriety in this school of young men, and they were taught to bow in the presence of their schoolmaster. Elijah has been taken. They've now been introduced to their new schoolmaster, Elisha, and they bow in his presence. Now, this story merely points out to all of us that here are some young people, some young men, and they needed training for the ministry. That training was being provided by older men and women in the ministry that had experience. And I told you earlier, tonight we're going to talk about the starting of our Bible college. We've called it Old Paths Baptist College. That name comes from Jeremiah chapter 6, verse number 16. If you came in this evening and you didn't look in the foyer area, you'll see that there are some blueprints out there. They show you what all three floors of the dormitory will look like. There's a laminated picture out there. It's not a perfect depiction of what it's going to look like on the outside of the building, but it's relatively close, and you can study it and you can look at it. But when we want you to see, we were distributing a flyer tonight that asked you to pray for the coming of the dorms and the coming of the college. I wish you would use that as a prayer reminder. As you know, we've had, I think this is our fourth semester of having some classes just for our church members, and that's gone very well. Now we're preparing next semester, or when we get into the summer and we actually start the fall semester of 2011, we plan to open up our college and invite people from other churches and from across the country to come. I want to take tonight, I want to talk to you about it. It's going to be kind of a message and just kind of instructional and information. But I want you to know what's going on. First of all, why start a Bible college? Why start Old Paths Baptist College? Well, I think this, it's part of the Great Commission. Part of the Great Commission. The Bible says in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son and the Father, and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Notice, we are told, we are commanded to teach. Now, there's many people in here, you have a conviction about putting your children in the Christian school, not being trained by the heathen. I don't know why that conviction stops at 12th grade.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And so, I think we're commanded. I believe having a Bible college is the part of the fulfillment of the Great Commission, because we are to be teaching people for the cause of Christ. And I don't think it has to stop at 12th grade. It could go right on into what we would call the college level. So we're commanded to teach our own. And here's how I see this thing. Our college will be started, first of all, to continue the training of our own young people. We've put them through our Christian Academy, and it's a way for them to continue their education using the Bible as a textbook and getting good, solid training at a college level. Now, so first of all, we're doing it for our own kids. We're doing it for our own church. We're a local New Testament church that's been told that we're to train people, a part of the Great Commission, and we're adding another level of training and education on top of what we already have. So then people from other churches, they'll be able to come and they'll be able to get an education here. But we're starting it, first of all, because I think we have a responsibility, even to our own, to provide good college training. So I think it's a part of the Great Commission. Number two, Paul specifically told Timothy that he needed to train men. He needed to train men. 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Paul had taught Timothy some things, and Paul said, "Timothy, you've got to pass on what I gave you to another generation, and they need to pass it on to the next generation." And God knows, folks, we better train some men to help salvage our country. And so I think it's a part of the Great Commission. I also believe that Paul, an old seasoned veteran, went to a younger man, said, "I'm going to pass off the scene, and you need to do what you can to train a generation of young men. And I think we too have a certain obligation to pass on what we have learned. So, it's a part of the Great Commission. Number two, we need to train men. Number three, I think we need to do what we can to save America.
Yes.
To save America. God, we talk about the commission that we've been given in regard to the saving of souls, and it says we start in Jerusalem. You know where Jerusalem is? Jerusalem is our town, and that's what we're doing right here at Martinsburg Christian Academy. But wait a minute, when you watch that commission unfold, we're supposed to be doing what we can to save our own country.
Yes.
And I believe that by starting a Bible college like the one we're starting, we're going to help to salvage America as best we can. I believe what we can do to strengthen America is going to help the cause of foreign missions. If we do not keep America strong, who's going to send missionaries around the world? We all know that there are missionaries being supported all around this globe off of the economy of the United States of America. We ought to fight for this country, and in fighting for this country, I think we're fighting for the mission cause around the world. So, it's a part of the Great Commission. We need to train men. We need to help save America. Number four, I think we need to pass on our church building techniques to others so they can experience some of the victories that we have experienced. I don't think we're special, but I do. I know this. I know that we have received some things from some great church builders of years gone by. Our church, folks, so you know, we pattern ourselves off of the great churches of the last generation. Our church building techniques, what we do with Sunday school, how we handle things, what we do. We have patterned we're not learning from the new contemporary crowd. We're not doing that. We look back for our training, not to the side, not forward, we look back. We learn from the Jack Hileses and the Tom Malones and the Lee Robertsons. Now, what they taught us is working. Have you noticed? It's working. Well, because it's working, then we have an obligation to pass it on to the next generation. And a Bible college would help you and I to pass to the next generation the training. We didn't discover it.
That's right.
There's nothing new around here. Nobody comes here and says, wow, that's new. Everybody comes here and says, well, I've seen that somewhere before. That's right. It worked for the last generation. It'll work for this generation. Yes, it did. And yes, it will. And that's what we need to pass on to the next generation. Not only that, tucked in that thought there, every once in a while, God allows a church to be the kind of church that other churches could pattern themselves after. It's like a bit of a model. We're hoping that we are doing our best to pattern ourselves after the New Testament Church of Jerusalem. And those techniques been passed down through the years. And so, when young people come to get trained, and they're trained in a church that is a pattern church, it helps them to take that pattern, they go out into a community of their own, and they go build a church. And we want to give them a pattern that is focused and zeroed in on the New Testament church of Jerusalem, and help young people to build churches. Then, number next. Why start a Bible college? Well, I think a Baptist college of this sort here on the East Coast is probably a needed thing. I think location is important. There are colleges in the central states. There are colleges on the west. You go way, way north or way, way south, there are colleges. But if you really think about it, there are not a lot of successful Bible schools, Baptist colleges in our area. So it's a need. It's a need. And I want to help to fill that need. Now, I think location is important. I think we'll draw students from all around the country, but I think the East Coast could use an old-fashioned, independent, hellfire, brimstone, non-apologetic kind of a Baptist college. I think we need it. I think location has something to do with it. I believe this. Another reason, I think it's going to grow our people. I think a college will grow our people. I think it will grow our staff. I think it will grow our young people that go there. Young people, you don't have to go there and go to our Bible college and necessarily go into the ministry. There is so much that you can learn. Hey, you get in the right kind of Bible college, you'll learn how to build a business. You may not have a bunch of business classes, but you'll learn character and tenacity and people skills. You'll learn how to keep on going when the going gets tough. Now, I don't believe everybody that went to a business college could come and pastor my church. But I happen to believe I could probably run a business. I was trained in a Bible college. There's things that you can learn that are awful valuable. But I think we're gonna grow our people. I think we as a congregation, if you don't even attend the college, I think you're gonna grow because of it. You'll grow. Number next. I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to. I graduated from 3 or 4 different colleges. I can't remember how many. One of my college presidents said this to me. He told me, he said, "Jeff, I recommend that you start a Bible college." These are his words, not my words. He said, you've been a successful assistant pastor for many, many years. He said, you are a successful college professor. You were a successful college vice president. You travel the nation like most evangelists don't even get to travel the nation. You travel the nation, you've had success in the field of evangelism. He said, now you've had relative success as a pastor of a New Testament church. He said, with all those experiences, for you not to pass down what you've learned on how to succeed in all those areas would be a waste. He said, it'd be a waste for you to die and not to pass that on. Now, I'm not trying to flatter myself. I'm just a dumb old country boy, and Jeff Owens is nothing special, but I'll promise you this. There have been all sorts of people invest in Jeff Owens that have told him some things. I've had some things handed to me that I need to pass on. I need to pass those things on. And so my ex-college president told me he thought I ought to do this. He told me the reasons why he thought I ought to do this. And I'll be honest, he told me I ought to do it, but I still in my heart was not accepting that I should do this. So you all know, there are some out there that get all excited, well, I'm going to start a Bible college and it's hoopla and well, cheer, cheer, and I'm all excited. I don't want to do this. You say, why? There's a thing called work, and I'm getting pretty tired of it. I mean, it's work. I'm doing what God wants done, not what Jeff Owens wants done, because Jeff Owens wants to kick back and get a senior citizen discount down at Dunkin' Donuts and play golf on Saturdays. That's what Jeff Owens wants to do. But why start a Bible college? I said, it's a part of the Great Commission. Number two, Timothy was told to train men by Paul. Number three, we've got to save America. Number four, we need to pass on the methods and the techniques and doctrines that have been given to us. We've got to pass it on to the next generation. Number next, I believe that a college of our sort is needed in this location in our country. I think then it'll grow our people, and I think it has been recommended. I've had a lot of people badger me about the thought of this thing, people older and wiser than I, and I have to listen to a certain amount of that counsel as I try to help us. Number two, what kind of college will the Old Paths Baptist College be? What kind of college? Well, it's going to be an awful lot like the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Let me say, it will be a soul-winning college. According to Proverbs 11:30, we will fulfill the Great Commission. When I say the Great Commission, it's not one thing. The Great Commission is not just soul-winning. The Great Commission is getting people saved, getting people baptized, and then following up on them and trying to help them to become a productive part of God's workforce. But Old Paths Baptist College will be a soul-winning college. Number two, it'll be a Bible college. A Bible college. King James Bible. Inspired, preserved, and loved, and with no apologies about it. That's what we're going to be. King James Bible. That's what we're going to be. So, a soul winning college. A Bible college. Number three, it'll be a college, a local New Testament church Bible college. It is a ministry of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. It won't be owned by some other college. It won't be owned by a variety of colleges. It's not going to get out on its own and be independent. It is a ministry of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, just like our bus ministry. It'll be just like our senior citizen ministry. It'll be just like our music ministry. And some may have a hard time with this, but I as pastor will oversee it. We're going to help other local New Testament churches, but it is under the ministry of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. It'll survive longer and stay stronger that way. Number next, it'll be a Baptist college.
Amen.
A Baptist college. It's not going to be non-denominational.
Amen.
Old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist college. You've noticed it says Baptist on the sign down there.
Amen.
Since I've been here, I'm not making any apologies. I'm a Baptist. I was Baptist born, Baptist bred. When I'm dead, I'll be Baptist dead.
Amen.
I'm a Baptist. Baptist in name and in doctrine.
Yes.
Number next, it'll be a Holy Spirit-led college. I want the Holy Spirit of God to control what goes on. Number next, it's a college that will practice separation from the world. It'll be required of its students. You won't get into the school if you won't practice and abide by the separation standards. We'll be able to set up the standards almost identical to the standards at Martinsburg Christian Academy. There won't be double standards around here. Number next, it'll be a college that stands and teaches balance in the Christian life. Balance. You say, what do you mean? I'm talking about the balance of grace and truth. I'm talking about the balance of strength and beauty. I'm talking about boys that can go out and play hard on a ball field, but also can stand up and sing with dignity and love God and have the Holy Spirit on them while they sing. I'm talking about training young people that hate sin and hate it with a passion and stand against it and preach against it and fight sin and fight the devil and that love people. And love the people that have been tortured and tormented by the devil. They give people a second chance and they rebuild the lives that have been destroyed by sin. I'm talking about a college of balance. I'm talking about a college with ethics and propriety. It will be a college that teaches and stands for balance. Number next, it'll be an Old Paths Baptist College. Old time religion. Old time religion. We're not going to teach them the contemporary style. We're not going to teach them to have a traditional service and a contemporary service. That's not the plan. We're going to be fundamentalists in doctrine, in standards, and in method. In method. We're not going to be ashamed of what we are. You say, well, won't you limit the number of people that come to your college? I hope so. I hope so. Next, it'll be a college that trains for the ministry. Trains for the ministry. We're going to train pastors and pastors' wives, assistant pastors, evangelists, missionaries, Christian educators, and lay people that want to grow in the Lord. But we're not planning on training people. You know, there are other colleges that people can go to if they want to learn to be a diesel mechanic or whatever. But we're going to specialize. We're going to specialize in training people for the ministry. What else? It'll be a college where the students will be loved. It'll be a college where the students will be loved. When students from away from here come from the outside, they'll become a part of our church. They'll need a pastor to love them and to help them. They'll need a congregation to love them and to help them. It'll be our contribution to trying to save our country. So it will be a college where the students will be loved. Next, it'll be a college where the students will be served. Where the students will be served. They will be served by us as we serve God. And that might not mean much to you, but I've been around college education for a long, long time. I want to bring people here, and I want to treat them right. I want to train them. I want to take some 18 and 19-year-old young people that are going to be homesick and scared and launching into life. And when they come into the church service, I want them to nestle in and be at home and have people that love them and people that are going to watch out for them. And, you know, we have our conferences every year. We have our ladies conference. And I've told you for years, it's our chance to serve people. We have our youth conference now. We have the National Old Paths Conference. And I think you know it. We just spend our time serving people. We just spend our time serving people. And that's all I want to do. You see, in serving God, God said, serve each other. And that's what we want to do. And so what kind of a college will the Old Paths Baptist College be? A soul-winning college, a Bible college, a local New Testament church college, a Baptist college, a Holy Spirit-led college, a college that will practice separation, a college of balance, a college of the old-time religion. It'll be a college that trains for the ministry, a college where the students are loved, and a college where the students will be served. Number three, let me give you some reasons. I'll give you reasons why I'm not starting the college. Now, I am starting the college, but some people start colleges for the wrong reason. I've looked at those. I've studied those. I think sometimes there are wrong motives that someone could use to start a Bible college. I don't want you to research anybody's motives. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm going to tell you the reasons I'm not. That you might say, well, you're doing it for this or for that. I'll tell you some reasons I'm not starting the college. There's some reasons why I am, but there are others that I would disagree if someone started college for these reasons. For instance, we're not starting the Old Paths Baptist College to make money. Amen. We'll keep our tuition as low as we can to make it so our own folks can afford it. Amen. We won't try to get money from the students as if it were a business. It is going to be a ministry of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Now we're going to need to charge enough money to pay our bills, but I have no plan at all to try to build a kingdom. I'm trying to build a ministry. That's all I want to do. And we want to train people for the ministry. So we're not starting Old Paths Baptist College to make money. Secondly, we're not starting Old Paths Baptist College to help build our church. We're not trying to start a college to build our church numerically. Our church is already one of the largest churches on the East Coast. We had nearly 1,000 people in Sunday school this morning. We don't have a bunch of college students and people coming here to do that for us. You take it, when I moved here, the National Census Bureau told me there were 14,000 people in Martinsburg, West Virginia. Let me explain something to you. When you have 1,000 people in your church in a town of 14,000 people, those are pretty good percentages. We're not trying to go out and get people to come here to build the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. That's not the plan. Now they're going to build the kingdom of God. We're not about to try to get them to do that for us. We will not use the students to build our church, but we will use our church to build the students. That's what church is all about. They will serve in ministry, but not to see what we can get out of them, but to see what we can put into them. That's what it's all about. They will strive to do something big, but not so you and I and our church get something big out of them, but because they need to learn how to do something big for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's the plan. Say, well, if we get them in here, boy, our church will grow. We're not bringing them in here to grow the church. We're bringing them in here to grow the people. And that has been the philosophy of this church all along. We're not out trying to reach people so we can brag about how many we had in church. We're out trying to reach people so we can reach people and love people and salvage marriages and keep them out of hell and change their lives. Number next, we're not starting Old Paths Baptist College because we're mad at some other Bible college. I don't spend my time being mad at other Bible colleges. I'm too busy to be mad at other Bible colleges. You say, too busy with what? Building our church and building people and preaching the gospel and keeping people out of hell. I have not been on the internet in 8 years researching other Bible colleges to see what they're doing. Not one time. Say, why? I'm busy. I'm busy building a church and keeping bus kids out of hell. I'm busy building Sunday school classes. So we're not starting Old Paths Baptist College because we're mad at some other Bible college. There are other good Bible colleges, and I applaud them and I cheer for them. I know this. I know that when the man that trained me, Dr. Jack Hiles, started Hiles Anderson College, there was a half a dozen good Bible colleges all across the nation. He had people from his church that went to those colleges. He didn't start Hiles Anderson College to attack them, to destroy them, because he was mad at them. He started Hiles Anderson College because God told him to start Hiles Anderson College, and that's what he did. And that's what we're doing. We're starting a Bible college because God wants us to start a Bible college. You say, what's your ulterior motive? To be right with God. What's your ulterior motive? Amen. I'm not competing. I'm just trying to complete the Great Commission for our church. That's all. That's all. Hey, we're not starting Old Paths Baptist College as a status figure. I'm not trying to impress anybody. Not so that we can say, we have a college. I'm not biting at the bits to say, I'm the chancellor of an educational institution. I've pretty well been there. I've done that. I'm not looking for status. I'm not looking for status for our church. I'm looking for God's blessing on our church. That's all. You say, wouldn't that be great to be able to brag to everybody that we have a Bible college? We're not starting it. Now, you can brag all you want, but that's not why we're doing it. We're not trying to get bragging rights. Next, I want you to know a college can be hard on a church. It looks glamorous, but it's work. It's sacrifice. It won't be easy. Hey, we're not starting a college so we can keep our students home. Parents, your kids' attendance at our college needs to be the will of God, not your selfish desire to keep them home because you don't want them to leave the county. I don't have time to talk about it, but I could for 20 minutes. Number next, we're not starting this college to create an invisible denomination. We'll train our students to be loyal to principles, not to institutions. And if we ever turn on God, they ought to leave us. They will be loyal to principles and doctrine. That's how I was trained. So, what are some of the reasons not to start a school? Well, you don't start a school to make money. At least, I guess these are my opinions, so you know. You don't start a Bible college to make money. We're not doing it to build our church. We're not doing it because we're mad at some other Bible college. We're not doing it as a status figure. We're not doing it because we think it would be easy on our church, because it won't. It'll be hard on our church. We're not doing it just to keep our students at home. We're not doing it so we can get people to be loyal to us. I'm not trying to get people to be loyal to us. I want people loyal to the Bible. I want people loyal to the doctrines of the Bible. That's the plan. Now, let me give you some general information. We'll be done. But the length of time it takes for the general information might not be as quick as the words "will be done." Okay? Some general information. I'm going to preach some other sermons to help us and get us ready. So you'll hear more. I'll teach you more. I'll talk to you more. Then, when we go at it and we get to moving along here, we'll be hiring people here and there, just like we've needed to for our church and as our church has grown. But I'll hire Baptists. I'll hire people that are builders and that have fire, not just somebody that wants a job. That's not how you do it. You put a bunch of people teaching in a college that never build anything, don't have any fire. They're going to train boys that never build anything that have no fire.
Right.
Only makes sense. So your college is going to reproduce itself in its students. So you say, what are you looking for? I'm looking for some boys with some fire, with some energy, with some go get it and make something happen. Don't let anything stop you. I'm looking for some people with some courage that'll stand up and say, let all hell break loose. I'm going to stand for what the Bible says. But we will reproduce ourselves in the students. Now, folks, let me tell you, as a congregation, you're going to have to be patient. This is a brand new college. We didn't inherit one.
Yes, sir.
A brand new college. We'll have to work the bugs out. You say, how many bugs? Full of bugs. Full of bugs. It's kind of dumb because we don't have any buildings. We're going to try to get some. We don't have any students. But we're going to try to get some. We don't have any money. We're going to try to get some. In essence, we don't have staff. We have us. We have no history. That's really scary. I have to tell you this. We're going to build our dormitory, and I'll mention it a little more later, over here by the Spanish, where our Spanish department is. We're going to build a dormitory over there. You've seen the pictures. Big old dormitory. I heard about Moses in the Old Testament. God said to Moses, Moses, take off your shoes where you stand in holy ground. I heard preachers talk about that sort of thing and doing that. And I've heard preachers, walking a piece of ground and taking their shoes off. Well, I thought, I don't have any money. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over there and I'm going to take off my shoes and socks. And I'm going to walk on that holy ground. And I'm going to ask God to give me a bunch of money so I can build that college. Well, there's about 3 inches of snow out there. I took my shoes off, took my socks off. I got to walking out there, and it was so cold. I ran to the car. I said, God, you're going to have to do this with my shoes on, because it is too cold to walk around out there with my shoes off. So, folks, I might have blown it right there, It might be I just wasn't following proper method to get something from God. The dorm that we're proposing to build is to be done by the end of July. It's our job, or what we're wanting to do, is then in August, we would open our dormitories for students to come from across the country. As you remember, we attempted to buy the Akana Lodge and some acres of land out here, and we were going to pay $4 million for it. The thing fell through. Probably it was God protecting us. The college will open to the public in August of 2011. The deacon board will act as a school board, just like Martinsburg Christian Academy. Like I told you, this is a ministry of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I need you to pray for the dorms. I need you to pray for the students. You say, which ones? I don't know. The students, you know, they're out there somewhere. But I want you to pray for them. I want to pray that we get the right ones. Pray for the money. I'm telling you, it's scary to me. These are tough economic times in America, but I just feel like we need to go forward. We just need to go forward. But you pray that God would get involved. Some of you that have more faith and your feet are tougher than mine, go out there, take your shoes and socks off and walk around in the snow and claim that ground for me, would you? Old Paths Baptist College won't be for everybody. It's going to be a soul winning college. It's going to be a Baptist college. It's going to be a separated college. We're not looking for everybody under the sun to come pay our bills for us. We're trying to do this for the right reasons and in the right way. So I don't know that it'll be for everybody. Our children here, if they go to the college, they'll follow the same rules everybody else follows. And if you go to the college, you'll follow the same rules everybody else follows. We will start using primarily our existing staff. And I'm going to have to tell you, my staff's tired. I mean, if you look at everything that's been accomplished at this place in the last 8 years, it didn't come by putting in 40-hour weeks. And we've worked hard. And staff, I don't know any other way to do it, but I don't see how I'm going to add anything to my schedule. But I'm going to have to add to my schedule. I'm going to have to figure out time. I'm going to have to figure out a way to do it. It's just, I don't see any other way around it. But anything that's ever born, there's labor.
Yes.
There'll be labor pains. I worry. There's so many people here that have been to Bible college and you went to a college that had been around for 20 or 30 or 40 years and you've seen everything that they have. You say, what do you have to offer, Brother Owens? I don't have anything to offer except I believe that God is in it and I believe that God is going to use it and I believe that there's something great on the horizon. You say, what else you have? I don't have dorms. I don't have students. I don't have money. I don't have any of that, but I do have a God, and I do have a God that knows what He's doing. And I just happen to believe that my God is in this, and God's about to launch a college. Tuition will pay the bills of the college. That's the plan. I'll promise you this. Our church comes first, but this is a part of our church. I believe, and here's what I need your help on, folks. We've got to keep our church strong because, listen, you say, Brother Owens, you're bringing these students here so you can train them. No, you're missing it.
That's right.
I'm bringing these students here so you can train them.
Yes. Amen. That's good for you.
They're coming to watch how it's going to be done.
Yes, sir. That's good.
Choir, they're going to watch you.
Yes.
Staff, they're going to watch you. Greeters are going to watch you. Bus captains are going to watch you. They're coming to see what we do. Boy, wouldn't it be great if in years to come, little old Shenandoah Bible Baptist churches are popped in little cities all over the world, building exciting churches that get people saved, that stand for right and fight the devil.
Yes, sir.
But we're going to do it together. We're going to do it together. I should probably tell you, it is my expectation that the devil won't like it. And I am not looking for a fight. But I've never ran from one. And as long as I know I have the tag team partner that I have, we're going to be okay. And that is our God. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, men, pop that sign out here for me. You'll see this soon over where the dormitory is going. Let me tell you how much money we have to accomplish what we're about to do. I had enough to buy this sign. That's where we start. This will hang out there. As you can see, It just says future home of the Old Paths Baptist College. It's out there. You pray for it. You think about it. And you'll see it in the site where it's going to go. I think, fellas, there's a little loose part that we're going to want to take care of before we hang. But now, I believe that this is a ministry that God is going to use to help people. That's its purpose. I hope that you'll join me in praying and preparing for the Old Paths Baptist College. Thank you, men. You can roll that up now. I've done what I wanted to do this evening. The Bible, God spoke to Timothy and told Timothy, there are times when you're going to preach. There are times in the pulpit you're going to rebuke. There are other times when you're going to exhort. Tonight, I've taken a little bit different kind of a service to tell us about a ministry that I believe God wants us to build. I'll need your help. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I'd be amiss if I did not tell you it's for someone like you. We will build a college like this, hoping that lost people all over the country will hear the gospel and get born again all over the world. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, I want to invite you. We're going to have an altar call. I want to invite you to come. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can be born again. For whatever need, if you need this altar tonight, I want you to come. For those that would, if you could, I'd really love for you to pray. Maybe in a special way, some of you could come tonight and pray that God would just help us through this. I've never started a Bible college. Now, I've worked in almost every aspect of a Bible college before, but the thing of starting one from ground zero, having nothing with which to start, but knowing it's the will of God, I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for our deacons and pray for our staff as we want to do right by God. We don't want to embarrass God. We want to do it right. We're going to have an altar call. If you feel like maybe God would have you to come and pray for a moment, it would be fantastic. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, Brother Owens, I'm not saved. I'm one of those that need to be born again. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm not saved. I need to be born again. Well, then in a moment, the altar call will begin. And we're going to just take a moment at the altar if you need it. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. Some of you need to come and pray and say, God, help us with this thing. Help us to do it. Help us to do it right. Elijah had a group of young men. The count at that moment, there were about 50 young preacher boys that he was trying to train and trying to help. When God took Elijah on, Elisha stepped up, took the mantle, and just started training preacher boys. And through history, God has watched one pass off the scene, another come on, and they just kept training young men and young ladies for the ministry. Not trying to compete with anybody. Just trying to do what's right. Pray for us to have wisdom. Pray for the finances. Pray that the students would come and the right students. Pray that our church would stay a strong example so the students can see it. Time religion college. It is over. song choir just one more time. Those of you that help with baptistry will have a baptism tonight, so make sure you're ready. Thank you, choir. Thank you, congregation. Have a seat there if I call.